it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They've had chances. The 2-1 pitch swung on. Little bloop into right center field. It's a base hit. One run will score. Castellanos coming around third. He'll score as well. It's a two-run single for Turner. And it's a three-run eighth inning for the Phillies, who now lead it 6-1.
Well, just a tremendous job by the Phillies, really in every way last night. The lineup, the pitching, the manager, they answered the bell. And they did it in a very big way. And we're super psyched about it. Hey, this segment on WIP presented by Paramount Plus. You cannot count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started. Well, this segment you're going to hear from Rob Thomson and the many things he said after the game last night when he met with the assembled media. Of course, tonight we also have an Eagles game, so we want to hear from you on the Phillies front. You know what stood out to you, what your basic reaction is, your emotional edge after that Phillies win last night. Talk to us at 215-592-9494. Phone line's also there for you on the Eagles, on a game day. Eagles and Giants tonight, John. I mean, it's one that should be comfortable. I imagine the Eagles will get back to their bread and butter, which is a more balanced offense. Now, Saquon, is he a little banged
I
up?
Hope.
I don't know. But, yeah, I think it's enough of – enough of trying whatever that was, and let's just play Eagles football, right?
Well, I sure hope so. You know, it seems like we've sort of brought ourselves to the Giants level historically, and I hope that doesn't happen again. I still think that we're the best team in the NFL. I think that we should be able to show that against this team tonight. I think that for the first time this year, we should finally show some serious ground game, chewing up clock, whether it's Saquon, whether it's A.J. Dillon, whether I don't know exactly. I know that the Giants give up 140 yards a game on the ground, yeah, and they don't tackle that well, and it's a get-right game for our running game, yeah, if you ask me. So I'm looking forward to that part, and I think we'll just grind it out, grind them down, and work out some of the kinks from, licking our wounds,
sure,
from the game against
the Broncos. Well, so the Eagles thing squarely on the table. Talk to us, 215-592-9494. One thing I'm looking for from the Eagles, and I think they will accomplish it, and I'll be pretty dismayed if they don't, is because I think they're going to win the game. And I think if we said, hey, do you think the Eagles are going to beat the Giants? We'd all say, yeah, of course they're going to beat the Giants, right? But how about they outgained the Giants in yards? If you don't know, the Eagles have been outgained in all five games.
It's an amazing
stat. But they win handily.
Right?
You know, how about it's just an easy win?
Totally.
You know, you're way better than this team. Just handle business.
Totally with you. So I think you can tell our viewpoint of it. Give us your viewpoint, Eagles Giants today. We will have Jason Kelce in studio next hour, starting around 7:30. We'll do mostly Phillies with Jason. He's obviously a huge Phillies fan, but we'll do some Eagles with him as well. All right, Rob Thomson, what he said after the game last night. We'll get to that shortly. Let's talk to Amy right now in Ridley. Amy, good morning.
Hi, morning team. It's Amy from Villanova.
Good morning, Amy from Villanova, who's not Amy from Villanova.
Wow.
Hello.
Exactly. Good morning. How are you guys today?
Hi, Amy.
Amy from Villanova, finally calling the show.
Yeah,
this is great.
This is
what a thrill.
Yeah.
Amy.
You know, I always seem to miss you.
That's funny.
So, Amy, you're saying that you are not the beloved Amy from Villanova that is that Joe is so fond of.
Absolutely
correct.
Not the beloved Amy from Villanova, but I'm very beloved anyway.
That's
I love
awesome.
The absolutely not, just like, yeah, absolutely not. Okay.
Yeah. We certainly appreciate you calling.
But Amy,
Amy,
let's be real. If there wasn't the other Amy from Villanova,
feel some chemistry.
You know, you never know. All right, Amy, what do you got on the
This is fun. It's fun.
What do you got on the Phils? I know you're pumped up. Talk to us.
So, Yeah, I'm just super excited. You know, I know a lot of people the other day were just like, they were done. My son was at the game when they couldn't score in the ninth inning. I was watching it on FaceTime with him, you know, because I couldn't be there. So he called me to catch the ninth inning. Unfortunately, it didn't end the way we wanted, but I'm still confident. I'm confident we can go out tonight. Our top four hitters last night had great hits, and they got to just keep doing that. It's the only way we're going to win. My dilemma tonight is my daughter's senior field hockey night at Ridley that starts at 6 o'clock.
Oh, no.
So what do you do?
That's okay. I have my phone. It will be on, and I just have to find a way to focus on both.
How long does the event last?
Well, you know, you have the ceremonies where they announce everybody, and then the game starts at 7.
So, oh, my goodness. Amy.
It's going to be hard. But honestly, it won't be the first game that me and all the other moms and dads have had the game on our phones in the stands. And our daughters know we're passionate sports people, so
good.
They get it.
Good.
You know.
I do know. I've been in that kind of spot a few times
in
life.
I've been there many times.
Well, you've been there a ton, John.
Oh, yeah. We watched a playoff game at Matt Battle's wedding. It was a bunch of WIP people just watching Jack Fritz's phone. It was the Padres-Philly series.
Crazy. Hey, yeah. Amy, call us again when you can and enjoy every element of tonight.
And last thing I want to say is go Bills, go Eagles, and go Ridley Field Hockey and my daughter Addison. Let's go.
All right, love it, Amy. Good work right there. Congrats to Addison on her senior year and getting through the field hockey and winding it down. That's awesome stuff. All right, let's listen to Topper. Oh, boy, he was criticized a lot. I thought he was a major star last night. Look, here's the bottom line. He got it right. You might not have liked it on the way in. We can't know for sure that if it had gone the way many of us want it with Rangers starting, that it wouldn't have worked anyway. But we know this. It worked. What he did worked. Nola two innings, Ranger for a bunch of innings after that. Could have gone to Ranger in the eighth, could have gone to Duran in the eighth. Didn't need to because obviously the lead was so big. So it makes sense on a lot of fronts. By the way, I think you now maybe have Ranger for an inning or two if you need him in game five. That's an exciting element. So a lot of stuff worked out last night. Let's listen to Rod Thompson, about a six-minute press conference. It was very late last night. What went down? Here's what he said.
Hi, Rob. Going into eighth, was it your plan to get six outs from Duran? And if so, how big was that offensive outburst in saving him potentially for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what we were going to do, especially starting at bats, I believe. We started in the eighth. Once we had it on, went to Kirk, and Kirk threw the ball great. So, yeah, it saved Duran for tomorrow.
Fresh up in the middle.
Rob, what was the plan with Nola and Suarez coming in, and how close did they come to executing it exactly what you wanted?
Yeah, they pretty much did exactly what we wanted. We wanted to use those guys to get as close to Duran as we could to save some of the bullpen for tomorrow if we won. Nola was really good. The plan was to go one time through the lineup, and Ranger get is on Otani. Ended at with Edmonds leading off the third, so he's 1-for-20 with 9 strikeouts against Rangers. So and he hit the first pitch out of the ballpark. So, they executed perfectly.
Very good, Marcus Sekiro.
How satisfying is it for you as a manager to come into a game that you have to win, literally a must win, and have an unorthodox plan work out pretty much perfectly?
Yeah, it really is. And I give credit to the players for sure. You know, our offense was really good. We swung the bats. We had good at-bats up and down the lineup. The first four guys in the lineup were, 9-for-16? They kept grinding. They kept adding on. We had chances in other innings than the innings that we scored. So they just put pressure on them all night long. And yeah, Nola, Suarez, Kirkering, even Taiwan threw the ball well.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He didn't really give up much exit velo, but they got some hits off him, and then, you know, Banks throws one pitch. So I thought we really played well all around.
Okay, right here in the first row.
Rob, you guys seem to be pretty aggressive with Yamamoto early. Can you talk about that kind of get the guys into the flow at the plate, being able to attack fastballs right away?
Yeah, I think we had good at bats against them for sure, and we got them into some counts where we expected some fastballs, and I think the Schwarber home run just sort of woke everybody up and got a lot of energy going in the dugout.
Okay, Marcus, second row.
Part of your job as a manager is to get guys sort of able to flush what happened earlier. And you guys said you lost four in a row, I think, in the postseason.
Yeah.
And you came out here and they seem to be, I don't know, focused, refreshed. I don't know. I mean, do you take a degree of satisfaction in that as well?
Well, they're an experienced group of guys. So, they've been through this a little bit. And the one thing they did, I think, is they stayed in the moment, stayed relaxed. If you stay in the moment, trust the process, trust your teammates, and not really focus on the result, you have a better chance of getting to the result. And they did that, so I'm happy with them.
Did you, re-impress that upon them over the last couple of days?
I think they do it inside the clubhouse very well. You know, the veteran guys, they spread the word and one game at a time, and that's kind of our motto today.
Okay, Paul.
Rob, I know you announced it after game two, but when did the Nola Ranger plan kind of first start to come together, and how long ago?
Well, it didn't happen until after game two, because we wanted to figure out where we were at, you know, after that game, and then we sat down and talked about it and tried to figure out, okay, how do we navigate this lineup with using both those guys? And that's sort of what we came up with.
And then the fourth inning there, you guys don't have a hit yet. They just took the lead. How big is that Schwarber home run? And can one swing in a short series like that kind of turn everything around?
Yeah, it could. And we'll see about the rest of the series. But, certainly we had – I thought we had hit some balls hard prior to that too. Some balls deep, almost to the wall, to the warning track. So we're on Yamamoto decent, but I did think we had good at bats. And, the lineup woke up.
And just one more, Duran, I know you mentioned earlier, Dave Roberts was just in here and said, I would have loved to get him in the game. If he pitched two tonight, what would he have been available for tomorrow?
Well, one, if any.
Okay, I'm going to go back to Marcus quick.
excuse me. There's been a lot of you've taken a lot of criticism the last three seasons, including this one.
I have?
Yes. For some of the decisions you've made, and they haven't worked out. So the way the guys played as well. Have you felt that pressure going into, especially tonight, which was an elimination game? And has it affected you at all?
I don't think so. You know, I think that's part of this job, is that you make decisions, you plan it out. It's not like we're throwing stuff up in the air, but you plan it out. If it doesn't work, then yeah, there's criticism there. That's just part of the gig. It really is.
And finally, the uniforms, are you going to stay in the powder blues forever?
Well, not necessarily, because it's Major League Baseball's decision, depending on the home team's home uniform. Based on tonight, I would, but if their home colors are match up with our powder blues, then they won't let us use them.
Who's that here on the right?
The pitch clock violation, what kind of went into that? There was an argument about it, and at the time that was a pretty big at-bat.
Yeah, huge at-bat. And I think in that situation, I think you got to have a little bit of leniency, because You know, Bohm's at first base. He gets an intentional walk. The clock starts right away. Now he's trying to get his glove on, his sliding mitt. And so Marsh is watching him, assuming, you shouldn't assume, but assuming that they're not starting anything until he's ready. But, you know, the time ran out. But I think that there should be a little bit of feel there.
And then the second run you score, it's after Harper goes first to third. The throw gets away. Do you like him rolling the dice there? And what can kind of being aggressive do in a game like this?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to be aggressive. Sometimes you got to force the issue a little bit. And, you know, he did and caused an error and got us a couple more runs.
Okay, last one, Marcus.
Probably the biggest story of the postseason, despite the Dodgers winning, is that Shohei's, I think, 1-for-14 with 7 strikeouts against you guys. Has the plan sort of worked, or is it a combination of maybe he's not where you expect him to be at this point?
Yeah, I really don't want to comment on that because, I mean, he can explode at any time. He's that great of a hitter. But, you know, we have pitched him well.
Okay. Thanks, Rob.
Thank you.
Now, that's Rob Thompson last night. Look, he was a real star of last night. I was a huge skeptic going into the game with his plan, and the bottom line is it flat out worked. And it's very clear what his objective was. It was to use Nola for 2 innings instead of 2 innings of the combination of Strom, who had let them down in this playoff, Kerkering, who had let them down in the playoff, and Robertson, who had let them down in the playoffs. I mean, that at a basic level, that's what it was about. Whether you agreed with it or disagreed with it going in, that's what it was about, and it worked. So good for Rob Thompson. It's a big win for him in many ways. Now, the next decision he has to make is about who's the third outfielder tonight. So let's get to this as part of the Twitter poll question of the day, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. We actually got 3 different questions today. The first is who wins tonight, Phillies or Dodgers? The second is, if you don't know, and hopefully you know, the Flyers season starts tonight. So we ask really a pretty typical question this time of the year, every year in the last 10 years about the Flyers. We never used to ask this when I was a kid, but we ask it now all the time. Will the Flyers make the playoffs this season? Yes or no? I'll be very curious to see where the results of that poll go. Do you think the Flyers make the playoffs this year? Yes or no? Now let's get to the here and now. Because before this game tonight is even determined, the outcome, the first decision that needs to be made is who's the third outfielder. Against Shohei Ohtani, you know for sure Marsh is going to start. You know for sure Kepler is going to start. We also know that Castellanos struggled big time last night. We also know Otto Kemp struggled in game 2. And we also know Sosa and Weston Wilson are, you know, only so good. So we ask you this question. Who should get that spot? 4 choices. Casty, Kemp, Sosa, Wilson. Rhea, your instincts. Casty, Kemp, Sosa, Wilson. Who do you go with?
I don't want Sosa in the outfield. I'm not thrilled about Wilson. I mean, they're probably going to start Castellanos, but I would go Wilson.
So I actually think I would go with Castellanos, but believe me, I feel dirty about it. But we can't act like any of these guys are all that good. I kind of like the role Sosa can play coming off the bench. And I was really disappointed with what Kemp gave them in game 2. And I got to remind myself, like, Weston Wilson is a classic 25th, 26th guy on a team. So I actually would go to Casty. James, he was horrendous last night.
Yeah, I thought it. Remember yesterday you asked who I thought would start, and I thought it would be Casty. I think it'll be Casty again tonight. I know he was horrendous last night. He had the big hit the you know, game 2.
Yep.
And
but the defense last night was scary as hell.
Terrifying, dude. He is. But at the same time, like, Otto Kemp in left field is not good. You know, Wes Wilson is not a great fielder either way. Like, the defensively, none of these guys are great. I'm with you. It'd be Casty or Wilson for me, and I'd probably just roll Casty out there.
John Wilson or Casty?
You know, I think I got to go Weston Wilson. You know, like,
It's not unreasonable.
Why not Weston Wilson? I know. I think I know what I'll get with Casty. I don't want to count on him reaching again for the low and away to try to uncork that thing. I have no idea how he even got a bat on that thing. Everyone knows he's going to swing and miss low and away again and again and again.
I do say to myself, though, who do I think is more likely to pop a homer?
Yeah.
Cassie or Weston Wilson. Yeah. I think it's Cassie. I feel pretty confident of that. So
Weston Wilson has pinch hit more, so you know, yeah, he's more probably more comfortable pinch hitting and all
that.
And we're
gonna play small ball, Weston Wilson can give you a lot better chances to get home when you're bunting.
Yeah, look, he's better defensively, he's better on the base paths, you know, all that stuff.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.